It's in the huddle, guys. Let's talk about T. Higgins. He was, I guess, P.O. Jason, did you see the tweet?
Yeah, he's pissed.
He's like,
hey. He should have been a free agent 2 years ago, and this artificial mechanism of the CBA keeps his ass off the market, and he's stuck with Mike Brown for another year.
He says, tag on Twitter yesterday, and I hit him back and said, look, this is the only way this is happening. They can't pay you and Jamar, so look, hopefully you get your long-term deal. But, fellas, how does this shake out, and what does it also mean for Trey Hendrickson if you're going to tag T, pay Jamar? How are you paying Trey? Baldy, can they do it?
No, I don't think they can. Not paying Joe and not paying what they're going to end up paying Jamar. He's the best receiver in football. Everybody else who's had the best receiver has figured out how to pay him. I don't care, you know, if it was Cooper Kupp back in the day or Justin Jefferson, they figured out how to pay him. But now you got Joe Burrow making top of the line, and he's willing to restructure contract from, you know, year to year to whatever level that can help. But I don't know if they can work in Trey. Like, I mean, he's leading the league in sacks. He's, you know, it's four straight great years in a row for him. I mean, those guys, Nick Bosa, you know, Max Crosby, they're at a premium. Like, they've got four guys at a premium. I don't know that they can afford all of it and pay all the other guys that they got to pay. And so I don't know that they – I don't know that they have enough creativity in their building to figure it out. I'm not knocking Cincinnati, but it's just some teams do and some teams can't. You know, Dallas is one of those teams that doesn't seem to be able to figure it out. Cincinnati seems to be one of those teams. They don't know how to figure it out. And so T is, you know, he's in a situation where if he's on the market, he probably gets top dollar. He becomes a number one receiver in one place or another. It's just
they all could do it. They all could do it. They all make so much. They all could keep anybody they want to keep. But the salary cap is a great thing for them to hide behind, a soft salary cap that's malleable, that allows them to create this mystique and aura of all so much hand-wringing. But, I mean, you could go $100 million over the cap if you want to. Like, and it doesn't take genius to do it. I mean, I think last year the Eagles had eight guys – making over $21 million a year. They had 11 guys making over $15 million a year. You could do it if you want to do it. I don't think Mike Brown is going to do it. He's going to have $60 million plus tied up in two receivers and a $55 million quarterback. I think he's going to have to trade Trey Hendrickson. I think he needs draft picks, and he's going to try to rebuild his defense. I guess they're going to draft nothing but defense. I mean, he also still needs offensive linemen.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a way to do business. Like, you could have got T. Higgins at the end of year three for way less before the wide receiver market started going bonkers. Like, now you're going to rent him for 27. And if you're Higgins, what are they going to offer me that's going to keep me from just playing out the tag again? Because I'm going to jump Jamar Chase next year on the open market.
Well, you know, I was at Cincinnati's training camp last year twice. And I mean, this is, it might come down to this again, but like there's T. Higgins and Jamar Chase playing catch on the side while practice is going on. I mean, they didn't participate. Jamar's trying to get a contract. wasn't happy. And like, they didn't participate. Like, now Jamar went out there and balled out. So training camp is training camp, but you might see something similar.
But they stunk in September again, Baldy, like they always do, and they're always chasing out of their own hole, and I think some of that is because the culture there and the locker room and guys having to fight for their money and like, right? Yeah. I mean, they lost to Jacoby Brissett in the New England Patriots week one.
They did, and that was a big one. Right. It hurt them.
Yeah. Kept them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right, Jason.
Here's what's interesting, guys. So our producer is named Spencer. He's behind the scenes. He says to us, the Eagles paid everybody, and Jason alluded to this, but I want to be clear. So the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and yes, they paid A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But the Dolphins have done the same thing, guys, and they've yet to win a playoff game under the model of having two wideouts that are making this kind of money. So when you talk about getting up into the $30 million range and you've got two guys that are doing that, Hill and Waddle, yeah, but no playoff wins. The Eagles are a different team because of the way they're constructed.
Yes.
You can't just look at the Eagles and go, well, they did it and everybody else can be good. There's a ton of teams, guys, that are paying their wide receivers $20 million each, But even those teams are combined for one playoff win. We're talking about 49ers with Ayuk and Samuel, Bears with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs. All these guys are getting no playoff wins. So I don't know if that's the formula.
Well, the formula is you are deep and strong in the trenches, and that's what the Eagles do. So we look at the salaries of the receivers, the running back, the quarterback, but none of that works if the offensive line isn't outstanding, and they've got the best offensive line in football. Same thing in Detroit. I mean, you can pay Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you can pay Jared Goff, and you know, but honestly, without their offensive line, none of that stuff matters. And so if I'm constructing a team, and this is not to belittle any wide receiver, I want everybody to get whatever they can. But if your offensive line isn't fixed the way Miami's is not fixed and has not been fixed, and you just continue to pay players that continue to get hurt, and you just are always dealing with depth issues, then it doesn't really matter that you pay Tyreek or you pay, you know, Waddle or you pay Tua. Until that gets fixed up front, then they're probably not going to win many playoff games. Look at Buffalo. Buffalo has a top three offensive line. They started basically all five guys for all 18, 19 games they played this year. We don't even know who they just paid Shakir yesterday. But honestly, they didn't really care that they lost Diggs or they lost, you know, whoever. They're built in the trenches. And that's why Josh Allen's successful. And that's why whoever they throw to becomes the guy in that particular game.
Jason, look, money doesn't always buy you love, and I want to make sure my numbers are accurate, so I'm grabbing my notes here about the Eagles. But only the Browns had more money committed to payroll last year, excuse me, than the Eagles. You can spend, again, like I said, $80-100 million over that soft cap if you want to. And last year, the Eagles led the NFL. Five players with $21 million or more in cash earned in 2024. Nine guys with $15 million or more. 11 players with $10 million or more in cash paid to them last year.
Jason, look, they struck gold with Zach Bond in free agency.
Yes.
On a one-year deal. They drafted Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, and all they did is develop into bona fide star players. You know, they've got Milton Williams on the back end of a rookie contract. Josh Sweat is a guy that, you know, just had a great season. I mean, they drafted well. They drafted two rookies in the secondary, not to mention what they did with Reed Blankenship the year before. I mean, they drafted well. It's a combination. They built
with your margins help when you can when you can pay Bryce Huff $17 million and he can't crack your roster.
But
he's one of the nine who made $15 million or more in cash last year.
No, but Vic Fangio's like, Vic's like, he doesn't fit my defense.
Yeah.
I'll give you 6 weeks. It didn't work out. He's a pass rush specialist. That guy can't play on the field with me. So we'll eat that mistake, and we'll just develop Nolan Smith. And you know what? Jalen Hunt, third-round pick out of whatever school that is in Houston, we'll play him, and we'll develop him. So, you know, they're always forward-thinking. To the point about this thing all started with Cincinnati. Like, the Eagles are forward-thinking. So they lock guys up. Going back to Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, they lock these guys up. They don't ever let them hit the market.
Yeah.
We're like, we like the way these guys play. They're part of our fabric. We're not letting them go. They're Eagles.
One other thing we want to hit on, and that was the Deebo Samuel trade. So the 49ers, look, he's been asking for a trade for a year, right? I mean, we kind of knew this. But they executed, and it's going to happen. He's going to the Commanders, which I think is a good move for the Commanders. It helps them, and they only gave up a fifth-round pick. How does this help the 49ers? If it does, because, again, you're taking away one of their major playmakers.
Well, you can't continue to pay everybody the way they have, whether it was – you know, Nick Bosa, whether it's Trent Williams, whether it's McCaffrey, you can't continue to pay everybody at the top of the food chain and then pay your quarterback. So I talked to Jed York, the president, back in October about Brock Purdy. And they knew in October they're going to pay Brock Purdy, whatever the freight is, 55, 60 million, whatever it is.
It's crazy.
So if you're going to do that, you've got to shed salary. Mm. And so Deebo was not a productive player for them last year. And you can say he's a declining player because that's what all the stats say and all the analytics say. He's a declining player. But Adam George knows him as well as anybody. He helped draft him in San Francisco. So let's see what Cliff Kingsbury can do with Debo in this offense right now. McLaurin's their number one guy. They probably can't keep Dyami Brown, who really came on and looked like a really ascending player the last 5-6 weeks of the season. But, you know, that's where they're at right now. They did San Francisco the biggest favor they could.
to be able to get anything back in return for that contract and not have to eat salary is a massive win for Jed York and Prague and those guys. Look, their culture was off. I talked to a lot of people who were out there all spring and summer. Yeah, there's the Super Bowl hangover, but there was a lot of guys who didn't feel like they were getting enough respect, who felt like they had to go to war too much with the front office for an extra penny here, an extra penny there. They felt like certain guys were afforded privileges, but I got to go in there and be a battering ram for my money every week. So, like, it was off. It played out the whole season, and Debo was one of those guys. And Debo's body, I think, is all – running backs go fast, right? Like, when it goes, it goes. They use this guy like a battering ram. He was a running back. I mean, he was playing between the tackles, between the slot, between the hash marks, and then running between the tackles. This dude was asked to do a lot for a team that kept playing extra games in the playoffs every year. So I hope Washington is looking at this as a cherry on top and not a main thing. From a price tag standpoint, it's going to feel like a main thing.
Yeah.
But what is Debo going to be in January? Like, I don't know. How are you going to manage him through the year? Like,
He just doesn't look like a difference maker right now.
No, he did in 2021, but not anymore.
But I mean, if you've got this incredible talent at quarterback. All right, McLaurin breaks out, but he's different. I mean, he's got top end speed, great route runner, great individual, and smart as hell. You got Zach Ertz at the end, you know, but he's still effective for what they're asking him to do. I mean, to me, if I'm Washington, like, just go to the draft. Get young. Get fresh legs. Get guys that can be on the field every day practicing, working with your quarterback, you know, going to the offseason, going down to, you know, wherever, Louisiana or wherever, and go work out. Like, that's what you want to do. San Francisco's happy as hell. Honestly, if they can unload Ayuk right now somehow, I don't think they can, but if they could do it, they would do it. They're like, okay, we just drafted a kid in the first round. We got some other guys. We got a tight end. Let's get McCaffrey healthy. Let's go to the draft and find another receiver. Like, that's really what you need to do.